And then when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." It's pretty crazy here. So this guy thinks that he can just write out a check, give it to the apostles, and the apostles will give him the authority to be able to lay hands on people, you know, and ordain them, basically. He's like, how much do I got to pay to get this power, right? It's pretty nonsensical thinking. And Peter just rebukes him. He's just like, get that money away from me, you know? You think that the gift of God can be purchased with money? Now, he's not referring to the gift of God, salvation. He's referring to the power of the Holy Spirit. Or should we say the ordination, the authority to be able to do this, okay? Now, I was thinking about what's like a modern day application to this. And the thing that kept coming to mind was Bible college. Right? This is your modern day Bible college student. Why? Because a lot of them go to college and they pay for classes because they think that the power of God can be purchased with money. You know, they think that the authority to be able to lay hands and ordain people can be obtained by money. You know, they purchase, you know, countless semesters and countless years. I just got to do my 4 years, my 5 years. Then if I buy it, they'll give me a little piece of paper that says you're a bachelor in pastoral theology. You give that to a pastor and they say, okay, great. You're ordained. You can have the power of God because you purchased it with money. Now, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, really it's the leaders who think that the power of God can be purchased with money, right? Because they're the one who's selling it, okay? And that's not to say that there's not students out there that go there and for that purpose. And look, you know, obviously, there's Bible college students out there that are sincere, and they go to Bible college in order because they think they want to receive a biblical education. Their pastor tells them, hey, if you want to be a pastor, this is what you have to do. And if you tell that to a brand new Christian, they're going to believe it. You're going to be like, all right, well, if that's what my pastor says, that's probably what we have to do. But it's still wrong, okay? Now, look, I went to Bible college. I thought the same thing because that's what my pastor told me. Now, fortunately, you know, I'm not talking trash about my father-in-law, right? He went to Bible college too. Now, here's the thing. Fortunately, with my father-in-law or with our Bible college is that it was on site. You know, a lot of these Bible colleges, they're states miles away. They send you away from the local New Testament church. Me, on the other hand, I was able to get trained and stay in my local New Testament church. So that was a plus for me. And look, I'm not going to badmouth Bible college to the point where to say, well, they're all wicked. Because in actuality, that's not true. Okay, because I went there, I survived. I'm a survivor of Bible college. And look, I learned some good things. I learned some good principles. You know, obviously the doctrine was pretty bad because most Bible colleges are filled with dispensationalism and Calvinism. You know, and you pay obviously to learn the Bible, and it's just like you're overpaying for crap food, you know, because they're giving you, you're paying for a steak, but they're giving you tofu kind of thing. But this is an example of your modern-day Bible college student. And literally, you have Bible college students that will go to Bible college for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and what happens? They get their little diploma, but they know jack squat about the Bible when they come out. They purchase the power of God with money, or what they think is the power of God. They're ordained as pastors. They're not even qualified. They're not qualified because they're not married. They're not qualified because they don't have children. They're not qualified because they don't even know the Bible. And look, folks, I sat in a Bible college next to people who knew jack squat about the Bible and didn't care if they ever learned anything about the Bible. And that used to tick me off. Because I was there, I wanted to learn the Bible, I wanted to be a pastor, I wanted to preach the Word of God, I was hungry for the Word of God, but I was forced to sit next to people who can care less. They are only there because their mama and dad sent them to go there. You know? And it was ridiculous. But yet, they think they can purchase the power of God. You know, they think the power of God can be purchased with money. That's why you have these churches today that are pastored by these, you know, Simons, right? who purchase the power of God, what they think it is, with money, and the church crashes or they go liberal. They know nothing about the Bible. I mean, they can't even give a sermon on salvation if their life counted on it. Oh, but they have a diploma. Oh, but, you know, they graduated from this college or whatever. They went to Golden State Baptist College where they teach you how to dress like a queer. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's West Coast Baptist College. You know, they graduated from Golden State Baptist College where they teach you how to dress like a preppy little queer and know how to buy the best tie and the best suits, the most expensive suits and the most expensive this and that. But they can't even teach the Bible, folks.